When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free. All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Keeping It Real, Conversations with Jillian Michaels. And today's conversation is we are back with world-renowned dating coach Haley Coyne talking about should you settle? I mean, I don't like that word. Mm-mm. But what's compromise and what's settling, right? And that's, I don't want to give too much of it away because it's such a great segment, but so often, you know, we think that it's like, oh no, all the boxes need to be checked, which is nuts. It's just a fantasy. You know, my shrink always says to me like, but is it good enough? And that's reality, right? How many relationships are you sabotaging because you think of it as settling when really it's just a compromise. It's real life. Mm. How much do you lose because you stand on ceremony? But conversely, there are times that are just, that's a non-negotiable thing.
Yeah.
Right? There are things you don't settle on. Like, I mean, I can think of many in dating. I wouldn't date a person who did drugs. I'm not settling. I wouldn't date a person that wasn't good with my kids. I'm not settling.
Yeah.
But if it's like, well, you know, you're not the best cuddler. Is that? I know that sounds crazy. Like, Dee doesn't like, she's not a good cuddler because she gets really hot and she has to sleep on her stomach. And I am. It's like, all right, yeah, it's good enough. You know what I mean? Like, she's good enough. So, I don't know. I think this is a really great segment with Haley. And I think so many of us need to hear it, especially a lot of the people in my life. Not you, Schminders, of course.
I needed to hear this about 15, couple decades 16 ago. Years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
20 exactly. years ago, whatever.
My goodness. But before we jump into that, there's been a new development in the diet world. A game changing drug. Semaglutide, yeah.
God. That apparently people lost 15% of their body weight on average. We should really address this. There's so much to say here. So we're going to take a break and we will be right back with my thoughts on semaglutide. Working from home has given us all a lot of time to notice our pets. So if your pet is itchy or smells a little less than pleasant, you've got to check out Scout's Honor. Their probiotic products are scientifically proven natural solutions for treating your pet's skin problems because they support healthy bacteria and fight the bad bacteria that cause irritation. Scout's Honor has a great selection of fragrances, including fragrance-free. I mean, I personally have been loving the honeysuckle shampoo and conditioner, and it's helped both my dogs have healthier skin and coats, and the deodorizer works great too. Plus, for every purchase, Scout's Honor provides a day's worth of meals for a rescue animal. Check out their award-winning products online or wherever you get your pet supplies. To receive 20% off your first order, just go to scoutshonor.com/Jillian. And remember, that's Scouts with a K, S-K-O-U-T-S, scoutshonor.com/Jillian for 20% off your order. Scout's Honor, natural and preventative grooming solutions for pets. Is something keeping you from happiness or achieving your goals? Well, you know what? Maybe it's time to consider professional online counseling from BetterHelp. They'll assess your individual needs and you can start communicating with your own licensed therapist in under 48 hours. You can send your counselor a message anytime and even schedule weekly video or phone sessions. BetterHelp's services are available worldwide and it's more affordable than traditional counseling. They even have financial aid. So visit betterhelp.com/JillianMichaels, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. The special offer from my listeners is 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/JillianMichaels. That's betterhelp.com/JillianMichaels. All right, we are back, and we are talking about a drug that's making some noise in the diet world called semaglutide. Now, look, I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade. I've had I've softened my position on certain weight loss surgeries, because I understand that people are feeling hopeless and helpless, out of control. And I've seen people get certain, you know, surgeries, bariatric surgeries, and get good results. If not, in some cases, great results. I've also seen, you know, the potential very negative side effects of people being able to kind of eat through the surgery, and it creates a very dangerous host of potential outcomes. But this is something I would say, look, talk to your doctor about that, right? And really do your homework, because it can go right or it can go so wrong. I've seen both. Now, as a person who specializes in weight loss, who's been doing this for so many years and understands both the physiology and the psychology, my deep concern is that, and I'll get to the drug in a second, but that, you know, taking the drug or taking or getting into the surgery isn't dealing with what is driving you to overeat. So, you know, we're not talking about 15 pounds here. We're not talking about, oh, dad bod. When you're looking at taking a drug, okay, for type 2 diabetes or, you know, a surgery that changes the anatomy of your stomach, we're talking about dangerous, morbid, life-threatening obesity, right? So when we are at a weight like that, it isn't because you're weak, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're not beautiful, none of that shit. And it isn't because you're genetically overweight. There is something inside of us that is driving us to choose to eat more or to choose to be a bigger size. And it's not necessarily conscious. In most cases, it isn't. But we would be feeding these deeper psychological hungers or gaining a sense of control. There's so many different components to this. So if somebody was to pursue one of these avenues, right, it's still not dealing with the psychological components. So my first caveat, beyond the side effects, right, and beyond my fantasy of like, well, we're just going to eat less and we're going to move more, which will get the job done. But if that's so hard, the problem is it's going to be just as hard whether you take out part of your stomach or you change, you know, the anatomy of your digestive system or you're taking a drug. It's still that psychology is not fixed. So at one point or another, that demon is going to rear its ugly head, or not even fixed. We don't have the tools to understand it and do battle with it in the way that you will need. So I think that that is the most important piece. Now, these people love to say, oh, diets don't work. Yes, they fucking do work. Eat less, move more. The reason that people are struggling with it is because of the psychology. They're having a hard time eating less and moving more. It's not because eating less and moving more doesn't work. So this new drug, right, comes out and, oh man, it's in the New York Times. Ready for this? A game changer. Man, that's a sexy promise, right? A game-changing drug brings weight loss in patients with obesity. Why is diet and exercise not a game changer? Because it's not on trend anymore. It's not politically correct. In a clinical trial, participants taking semaglutide. Thank you. Lost 15% of their body weight on average. Okay. They go on to say nearly 2,000 participants at 129 centers in 16 countries injected themselves weekly with semaglutide or a placebo for 68 weeks. Those who got the drug lost close to 15% of their body weight on average compared to the 2.4% among those receiving the placebo. 68 weeks, by the way. That's well, let's do the math on this, okay? That's well over a year. Now, 15% of their body weight. Let's say I'm a woman and I'm 25 pounds. Or I'm sorry, I'm 250 pounds. Sorry. I'm 250 pounds. Or I'm, okay, so 15% of my body weight, 10% is 25 pounds. Half of that, I lost 30-something pounds. In a year and a half? You've been injecting yourself weekly for a year and change? Whereas if we eat right and we move, we could take 37 pounds off of you in a fraction of that time frame. And you'll be much, much healthier from eating right and moving more. Not eating shit, but taking your drug. Okay, so that promise isn't even that sexy at all. It's not that much considering the overwhelmingly long time frame. 68 weeks. It's not 6 to 8 weeks. 68 weeks. Okay. Symptoms of their diabetes and pre-diabetes improved in many patients. I can get you, and I have, off of type 2 diabetes medication. Now, I'm not trying to make false claims. I'll just say this. In my work with overweight patients, which has been evidenced on international television shows, helping them eat better and move more off of their type 2 diabetes medications in under 2 months. Because what's the best way to resensitize your body to insulin? Exercise. Removing processed grains, refined sugars, and working out. So it's not an improve, it's a dramatic improvement. So if we're looking at alternatives, eating right and working out does have a host of side effects, all positive, all good ones. So this drug, they're like, well, compared to phentermine, which we know people were having heart problems on, oh, it's better than phentermine. It's like comparing, well, McDonald's is better than Burger King. What? We're comparing potentially dangerous to dangerous, and then saying it's a better option. Now, your doctor might be like, well, you know, you really need it. You know, you're not going to be able to eat right and work out, so it's a great alternative. Okay, first, let's talk about the potential side effects. Semaglutide side effects. What comes up right away on WebMD? Nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, diarrhea, constipation, all may occur. nausea may lessen over time. If you get this, talk to your doctor. Let's look at the long-term side effects. This is on drugs.com. No more, be sure. Warning, risk of thyroid C cell tumor in rodents. Semaglutide causes dose-dependent and treatment duration-dependent thyroid C cell tumors at clinically relevant exposures.
Oof.
Oh!
Oops.
Awesome. Somehow that's not in the New York Times article, though, is it? How strange. Less common, yellow eyes or skin, recurrent fever, gaseous abdominal stomach pain, indigestion. Fan-fucking-tastic. I just, come on. And are you ready for the kicker? So here's what this is supposed to do. It's supposed to mimic a hormone that makes you feel more full, so you eat less. So you can lose 15% of your body weight in 68 weeks. What is that? That's just under a year and a half.
It's a year and 4 months.
Yeah, a year and 4 months, which we could do in, you know, like, oh my God, 4 months, five if you want to take all the time, 6 months if you want to be asleep at the wheel on the treadmill, eating a little bit less, okay? I mean, if we were really like pedal to the metal, we could do it in 3 if you were dead ass serious about it. And again, all the side effects would be fantastic. Bone density, muscle conditioning, cardiovascular strength, improved energy, anti-aging. But with this, you can get potentially, I mean, at a clinical level, which I mean, you're taking it for clinical reasons. In rodents, it causes this thyroid C, whatever the F, thyroid C cell tumor, nausea, yellow skin, vomiting, diarrhea. Fuck that. No. No, but I forgot the kicker. Sorry. Here's one woman, right? She experienced no side effects, she said, but when the trial ended and she no longer received the drug, the weight started coming back. I was so sad, she said, and I'm eager to resume taking the drug once it's available. Great. So now you got to be on the drug the rest of your life?
Mm.
Awesome.
How many years is it going to take? And are you losing 15 every 68
weeks? But of course it's not going to work because all it's doing, right? It's like, I could put you on crystal meth and you wouldn't be hungry. I mean, oh God. And what makes me so upset is that they go in here and they're like, oh, you know, diets just don't work. Diets just don't work. And it's like, yes, they freaking do work. They absolutely work. Stop telling people they don't work so they take your drugs. They absolutely work. The issue is psychological and your drug isn't fixing that problem. So what people do need when they feel that they are addicted to food is help.
Yeah.
Not your drug. I just,
yeah.
And I'm not judging anyone who's looking for, who feels desperate for solutions. I'm trying to just warn you and help you understand why the drug is not the panacea and is potentially dangerous, and how what I would much rather you do is invest in some help and some counseling so that making the healthier choices of eating a little bit better and moving a little bit more will be a solution for you that you can stick with. And then you'll really, because the goal here, right, is your health, or you wouldn't be effing with this.
I mean, sometimes I'm waiting for them to come up with, like, weight loss food, right? So, drug-infused food that the more you eat,
right,
the more you lose.
It releases a bunch of tiny microscopic balloons to expand your...
Little parasites that go in and eat fat.
Oh, no, I came up with that. That was my biggest joke. It's called Parislim.
No. What?
Yes. Yes. I had friends get a parasite in India, and I was like, man, this is a hell of a diet drug. Parislim. Just ingest 2 tapeworms, and before you know it, you will be fit as a fiddle.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I came up with a whole thing for it. Parislim.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll eat a hole through your brain, but Parislim, yeah. You will look good. All right. On that note, we'll be right back with... oh, shit. World-renowned dating coach, Haley Quinn. Did you know that Jenny Kane has a home collection? They've got something for every room to make your space feel extra special. They consider their new Sonoma collection an ultra-soft secret weapon, and they're right about that.
My Sonoma pillows are on my couch, but they're so soft I could fall asleep on them. Jenny Kane also has a great selection of linen, cashmere, and alpaca pillows and throws, with everything from candles to slippers to make your home feel cozy. Plus, their beautiful, timeless furniture is built to last forever, like the leather safari chair and harbor sofa and the exceptionally designed Pacific bed. Find your forever pieces at jennykane.com. Get 15% off your first order when you use the code Jillian at checkout, and for a limited time, that includes furniture too. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code Jillian. JennyKane.com, promo code Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. All right, we are back with love and dating coach Haley Quinn, the best of the best. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for our topic of the day. I think it's such a juicy one.
Should you settle? I think everyone has asked that question at one time or another in their adult dating life. And I want to catch up first and be like, how are you? What's going on? But it's like, it's such a hot topic. You do feel the need to just jump right in. But how are you? How is life?
Life is as good as it can be, all factors considered. Like, I feel so lucky. We're in the countryside. I've got my baby and my son with me in this little cottage. We're hunkering down. I think for all the stuff that people are going through right now, we're super, super lucky. So we are getting little bits of cabin fever, but I'm happy. I'm really settled. I'm really chilled. And I'm going to use that word. I would say I'm like queen of settled now, and I no longer see it as this dirty word. And I hear so many people when it comes to settling being like, I will never settle. It's become like the battle cry of yes. the single person who's come out maybe of a bad interaction. And they're like, you know what? Screw it. Because I'm never going to settle. I'm going to keep going for this particular ideal. And I guess why I wanted to talk about this is I think there's so much balance that can be brought to this where we're trying to work out, when do I think that this like good enough is good enough and I want to keep investing in this? And or is it actually time that I decide that we're never going to have that level of connection? And I also know that you're talking to a single person. If you say to them something like, maybe you're too picky, or maybe you should lower your standards, they're going to hit you. You know, that's the worst thing you can ever say to someone who is single. But I think there's a really interesting argument around it and about our ideals and our standards and our beliefs that we have around how we're going to find love.
You know what I think? I think because it means quitting to some of us. Mm-hmm. It's like, I quit. I gave up. And I won't quit on love, right? It's almost like going after your dream. You know, you want to be a musician. You want to be whatever it might be, an engineer. It's like you think that if you don't ever become the college professor and you're like, you know, those who don't teach. Or let's say you want to be a journalist and you end up becoming a high school teacher. It's like you see it like that. Like, I never hit my dream. I'm a failure, I think. What do you think people perceive it as?
I love the idea that you brought failure into it. Because when I hear people saying things like, I'm never going to settle, it's basically saying, I'm not going to compromise on my standards. I'm not going to accept a kind of relationship where I don't feel really excited to be in that relationship. I'm not just going to compromise. And to a lot of an extent, this argument is good. Like, I'm really all for single people out there being like, you know what, actually, single is status. It means that like, I actually value my life as it is enough that I don't feel the need to be in a relationship. I think that's a good place to be. However, I think with everything, there's this balancing act between a nice, healthy form of independence where you're really looking for someone who's a major value add to come into your life, or the pendulum can swing too far the other way. And I think unrealistic expectations can actually block you from finding someone truly amazing. Like a quote I really love is like, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, which is sometimes we can so get fixed on this perfect idea that we overlook good stuff that's coming along the way for us that could also give us the opportunity to be happy.
You bring up the word compromise. And I think that these are not the same things then. So we've got this notion that settling is just this unacceptable, but we're really saying we won't compromise. Whereas everybody needs to compromise in any component of your life. Mm-hmm. Whereas settling would be like, I just gave up on the dream. I think that is really what you're saying, is that you're not going to get it all. That's ridiculous.
No, because we don't bring it. I think a good question to ask yourself, if you're wondering whether your standards are in the right place, it's like, for everything that I want on my wish list, do I bring that to the table myself?
Shit.
You know? Yes. Or am I looking for some, like,
wow. I think some, what an exercise.
Don't you think sometimes it's like everyone's looking for this kind of like perfect every person that's like off the shelf? Like they must be this tall, earn this much, have gone to this place.
Read my mind.
Right. And they must whisk me off on amazing romantic holiday. And that's just not real life. And if we're going for that person, then we're not really looking for like a partner, which is someone who, just like us, is going to have flaws, is going to have things about them that isn't perfect and isn't ideal. And then we just have to work out which are the right compromises for us to make. It's not like, as you said, we don't get through life without making compromises. It's like, you know, if you have a kid, I'm going to use this as a mumming example because I'm just like right in the throes of first time motherhood at the moment.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, that's a life choice. You've kind of gone down that path, right? And by choosing to go down that path, which has given you so much, you've ultimately shut the doors, at least temporarily, on a few other things that you could do. But it's like the nature of compromise, right? It's like by choosing to progress down a path, we have to then close off, inevitably other options close. Like, I am not going to get up at 10 a.m. anytime soon. You know, I'm like the 5 a.m. warrior out there. And I think it's kind of the same with relationships. If we want to actually commit and choose to, at least in this moment, to try and make something work with this person and try and build that long-term relationship, obviously we close down those doors to single life, but we also will make little compromises along the way, because there's no way that this other person is going to be perfect. And if you think they're perfect, you're going to get a shock at some point where they turn out to just be another human being.
I love your exercise of look at yourself and ask, you know, where you might be them, quote, settling or not getting everything they wanted. And it does really put it in perspective. I mean, like, I think about all the things Deshanna has taken on with me. And I mean, she doesn't want to, like, again, love my ex, but that's hard. You know, she has very different ideas of how she's very attached to the kids, and she's jumped in as a step parent. It's been 2.5 years, you know, she's like, okay, I'm going to commit to your family, your kids. And I was like, I can't do more kids. I can't. That's a massive, like, she had to make that decision. Is Jillian good enough? Do I believe in this relationship enough? You know, do I love her enough? And I think about some of the stupid things that I had thought about of settling back in the day. Like, you don't share my political beliefs. You know what I mean? Like, when that was really like a thing, you know, but it took, like, I had worked with my therapist on it. It was like, Jill, is it good enough? You know what I mean? That's what he always asks me. Is it good enough?
I love that question, because I think so much at the moment, and I see so much of this on social media, I'm going to have a little mini rant about this.
Please.
It's just like, good enough is no longer good enough. We all want perfection, and we're not valuing actually day to day. And it actually drives me nuts when I see other life coaches, no names being named here, when they say, like, you know, if your life isn't super optimum, it's because you failed or you've made a mistake, you haven't tried hard enough. And I'm like, dudes, yeah, life liar. Isn't optimum by its nature. It's like, yes. That is just it. You know, it's like, whether we're talking about love life, health, whatever.
Happiness is the big one. This promise that you can always be happy. I'm like, you asshole. It's like selling a fad diet. Same thing. Yeah, totally agree with you.
Exactly. And I think, what is so wrong with just being like, you know what, like, I accept this other person. Like, I have humility that I'm not perfect myself. Yes. I'm compromised, and we communicate and we work stuff together as a team. Like, I think all those values are actually beautiful, and they're not to do with having this pristine, perfect idea of a relationship. They're to do with having like a partnership that actually works in everyday life. So I think it's about getting off that narrative of like needing perfection and expecting that across the board, and actually starting to value stuff which makes us really, really happy.
It's also, you know, you're right, it's this ideal is not actually real. So when you can start to dig into the details of, is it good enough, right? Like, I would, you know, Dee would get, she's passionate, she's Italian, and she would get really fiery with me kind of initially off the bat about something that would bother her. And I was like, oh, I hate that. It just stresses me out. But then she'll come around and have a conversation with you and be like, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that you feel that way. That wasn't my intention. Or, you know, she'll come back and talk to you like an adult, take mm-hmm. responsibility where she feels she has responsibility. Mm-hmm. But her initial reaction, I always like, I hate it. I hate the fiery. And, you know, my shrink goes like, but is it good enough? Is it like, you don't like it. You've talked to her about it. She's working on it. Stresses you out. But she can take responsibility. She can listen to your feelings. And then what about the fact that you, Jill, you shut down? So then mm-hmm. you then withdraw. That's all the shitty crap that I do that I never look at, and how much she hates that, you know? And it's like, so then mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sitting there, right? If we're in the middle of a fight and I'm like, don't do it. Don't shut down and like withdraw and get hold, you know, reach out, be the first one to say sorry here. And it's, oh my God, it's so hard for me. It's so mm-hmm. fucking hard for me. But I think about this, right? Where you're like, look at yourself, be humble. Like, you make that effort, you make that step. And I think when you do that, I've noticed that we've both evolved together. Like, we've both changed some of those qualities for the better over time, but only because of everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally agree. And I feel like that, I think what it's called, what you're talking about, is called turning towards. You know, when you, because you do have arguments and like, there's going to be stuff you disagree about. We're not talking about like the crazy relationship. We're just talking about like everyday life. If you spend a lot of time with a person, you will inevitably disagree on some Absolutely. Things. And that is actually, that is okay. And it's about how you deal with it afterwards. And just like you said, I've been in that exact same situation where I was like, I will walk down the stairs and I'm going to hug him. I was like, my ego is dying with every step. And I'm going to make myself do it. God damn it.
Oh, it's the fucking hardest thing ever. Oh my God, Haley, it's so hard. It's exactly, that in a nutshell.
But you know, I'm going to say to the real love doctor here, like my husband who taught me something about this actually, because I was maybe being a little bit petulant here and I was doing the whole, you don't understand me. So that was the storyline I was going for at that time. And he said, it's like, I may not understand everything about you, like, but I really accept you as you are. Aww. And I thought, I was like, that to me, that is like the true romance right there. It's about just going, you know what? You are a whole person. You got some good bits. You got some bad bits. We got some things we're working on together. But you know what? We are in this as a team. We're committed. Yeah. We're going down this journey together. And like, I accept you as a whole package. And when I get, not worried, I don't know if worried is the right word, but when I guess my little like feelings go off thinking something is up here with someone is when I get a message like, Haley, this is the person I'm looking for. First thing is like the salary. The second thing is like,
oh,
the
shit,
height.
Right.
And then the job. God. And I'm like, and I'm off this list. It's all just stuff. You know, it's all of these things or these ideas about who we think we should be with. And I guess, and I'm not to say that money isn't important in relationships, a whole other topic, it definitely is. But where on that list is this person's interpersonal qualities? And how are you thinking about how they line up with you? You know, is, for instance, the fact that you've got like the fiery Italian, is that actually not a bad thing? Because when you withdraw, someone there is there wanting to communicate and yes! talk it through. You're so right. I think when you're looking at that list of qualities, it's about, again, look at that list and think, have I just tried to order like the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend off boyfriendandgirlfriendsupermarket.com? Or have I actually thought about what qualities I need in a person that will balance me out and help us work together as a partnership? That I think is so, so much more valuable.
How do you know when you do need to go, right? What if it's like, now you're not settling, it's just you need to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work. It's incompatible. No moving forward. When do you know where it's like, it's not settling, it's just not right?
Mm-hmm. I think some really big obvious ones, again, it goes back to how you feel on like a day-to-day basis. So I'd say if you feel a lack of clarity and confused for a long period of time, I remember some of my really worst relationships, I'd just be there scratching my head day on every day feeling like I am just not happy. What is going on? Why can't I get that clarity about what I need? The other thing is, of course, that the relationship is all you think about, that you don't have that space and that support to actually get on and do other stuff. Like, you should feel, I think a hallmark of a really good relationship is that you feel like, you know, I can focus on that work project. I can go off for that weekend with my friends. Oh my God, I ain't gonna worry about it, because it's like a metronome in your life. I know this doesn't sound like the sexy, passionate thing that we want it to be, but I'm like gonna vouch here for the metronome. The fact that your relationship isn't this big source of drama. It's the stabilizing factor that allows you to go on and do all the other big stuff that you really want to do. And I think if your relationship is destabilizing you, if you feel a lack of clarity, if you feel like foggy every day, you feel confused, you feel just this malaise of unhappiness, you feel like you just can't, whatever you're trying to express, you just can't communicate it to a person, no matter how many letters you write them, no matter how many times you have like that really deep discussion. It's just like, sometimes if you feel like that line of communication, it's just not working, it's often because that other person isn't able to show up for you. They're not able to turn towards you. There's something about how you want to relate towards one another that just isn't connecting. And again, hallmark of a good relationship is, even if it's not an entirely smooth process, like you said, you do the little withdrawal or they get a little bit angry at the start, that there's a reconciliation and that you actually talk and you're able to move forward. So I think communication is so important. I think how you just feel within yourself and in your body every day to day is so important. And I think having enough energy and time and resources to go and do other things in your life is so important as a hallmark of a good relationship.
The things you say always ring so true with me. It's like everything you talk about is just so real and so relatable. And I love that you always go beneath the surface. It's like when I look at what I do, again, there's like the behavioral stuff, right? Like, don't let them put chips on the table. You know, you cover that. It's like, don't type that shit in a text. Let's clean up the dating profile. It's like you give the whole thing a facelift. But then it's like, all right, but if they did put the chips on the table, why do you think you would eat the whole basket? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then it's like, and you do that deeper work with people, which is why I just love you and love what you do. You do your job so well. So I already know, if you guys have not been paying attention, Haley has a 30 days of dating challenge. I'm going to let you jump in and tell everybody about it, where they can find you, how they can work with you, where they get more from you. Do it.
Okay, amazing. So if you head to HayleyQuinn.com, I've got my HQ club there, and we've got a 30 days of dating challenge, which is all about gaining the accountability and the insights to move forward in your dating life. It is not 30 days to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That is not the objective. It's 30 days to maybe love yourself a bit better, get to know yourself better, and change your dating patterns.
And we can also find you on Instagram. But isn't there what's the Instagram handle? Because it's like, I remember that I follow you already, so I don't remember, but it had like an X or what was it? It was tweet.
Yeah, it's at Haley Quinn X. There's a long whole story, which I won't go into, about how I didn't get my original handle, but that's okay. I'm going to have humility around that. And I'm going to say I'm at Haley Quinn X.
Thank you so much, Haley. And we have our fourth and final segment with you coming up: dating myths, how to not let that shit ruin your relationship. Oh my God. So tune in for our last segment with Haley Quinn in our series for February next week.
All right, guys, we want you to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with our life-changing and life-saving information. So on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, click that subscribe button.